Investigative journalist Todd Bensman shines a hot spotlight on national security and southern border concerns on this episode of United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford. I'm your host, Gary Benford. Thanks for joining us. This broadcast is available at radioinfluence.com or wherever you find your podcasts. You can also find the video version on YouTube and Rumble. In the case of wherever you go, please subscribe, turn your notifications button on so every Tuesday when the podcast drops, you will get the latest episode. You know, our southern border is open, America. That's a fact, whether you're paying attention or not. And that's very, very dangerous in the perilous times that we live. This is a major, major problem. And is anything being done about it? Can anything be done about it? Well, our guest has some answers, and some of them are shocking. So are you ready to find out? Well, let's get into it. Formerly a longtime journalist, he's now an investigative author who focuses on border security and illegal immigration. He writes for a wide variety of publications, and recently you have seen him and continue to see him all over television. Fox News, Real America's Voice, Newsmax, among the television networks that he provides his keen insight on. He's a senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. I welcome to the show the author of the book, Overrun, Mr. Todd Bensman. How are you doing, Todd?
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
And thanks for coming on, Todd. Now, the name of your new book, your latest book, is Overrun, but that's not the full title. Please tell people what the full title is and how you came about to writing this book.
Sure. The subtitle is How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. And it certainly is. I came around to writing this book because I was able to predict that this mass migration crisis was going to happen. It was obvious that it was going to happen to those of us who were working down on the border a lot. And what I saw was absolutely historic. And I'd been working on the border for many, many years, and I had never seen that kind of an absolute crush of humanity that began pouring over on Inauguration Day, 2021, and has never stopped for a second since, and has only stair-step climbed into ever greater ionospheric record-breaking heights. I don't believe that the world has ever seen a mass migration event this large and sustained involving this many millions of people. That being the case, it is historic. It's a historic event, not only in the United States, but in the world. And so historic events should have books written about them. And I decided that I was going to try to write that book, at least the initial, the history of the initial phase of this thing. It's still going on. We're into the fourth year now. A lot of the book is based on my reporting on the ground with the immigrants and in DC and measuring policy against reaction on the ground. So it's pretty unique in that sense. And the book stands to this day as the only book still written about the greatest mass migration in US history, how it began, who caused it, which policies caused it, why those policies caused this, and what it looked like on the ground for the first 2.5 years of it.
Well, before we get into the book, let's just talk about what people see on television, if they're paying attention, which means they better not be watching the disingenuous mainstream media stations. But let's talk about you spending a lot of time down there on the southern border. And we're going to get into other things. We'll get into Arizona and California and other ways that illegals are coming into the country. But let's just take the southern border for now. You've been down there a lot over these years. You have a background in investigative journalism from starting out with the 9/11 when you were journalist. And you, so you know how to dig and you know how to find things and you know what to look for. So please give us the good, the bad, and the ugly down there.
That's a big question.
I know.
What's happening? Excuse me. What's happening right now is that we are still at catastrophic levels of daily crossings illegally between ports of entry. Those are at about 5,000 to 7,000 a day. Jay Johnson, the former DHS secretary for Barack Obama, once said just a few years ago that if he woke up and there were more than 1,000 a day, we were in a crisis. But we're routinely at 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. As recently as October, November, December, we were at 14,000 a day. So, I mean, the numbers are just absolutely, and probably about 6 million people who cross that border are now living inside the United States probably forever. So it's transformative in that sense. And it's probably a lot more than that. I always lowball that number just to be sort of safely conservative about it. But 6 million is bad enough. The mass migration crisis is policy driven. It is intentional. It's on purpose. It's not an accident. And it's definitely not incompetence. Because now we've had 3 years to watch this. The administration told us what they were going to do during the campaign. Step by step, we're going to end deportation. We're going to end detention. We're going to let people in because we're a welcoming nation of immigrants. We are not going to prosecute people. We're not going to run them down and try to deport anybody on the interior. We're going to let most criminals stay. Even, Biden said famously or infamously, not even serial drunk drivers would be deported. And they followed through exactly on the very first hour of the first day, 12:01, January 20th, it began. There was a Title 42 pandemic pushback policy that was universal all along the border when Trump was in office. And before that, he had other policies that guaranteed that people would be pushed back into Mexico. And on the very first minute of the first hour of the Biden presidency, they tore massive gaps, exclusion gaps in that Title 42. And that's when it all began. Hundreds for family units first, where hundreds of thousands began pouring in. They were all waiting for him to take office, and they were right. So it was announced exactly what they were going to do. The whole world heard it. They came by the tens of thousands and were waiting at the border on inauguration day. And when the bell dinged, they were let in, and they've never stopped being let in.
Well, Todd, there's something you said early on that I want to go back to. And you said, they said, because we're loving and we're a caring country and we welcome everybody with open arms. I have a feeling if the majority of these people that were crossing had on, were carrying an American flag or had on America First or America, Make America Great or a Trump hat, they wouldn't be let in, I assume. So why are they doing this?
A number of reasons. The main reason why I believe they did, and Overrun has a full long chapter about this, chapter 4. The New Theologians is the name of that chapter, because the people that the Biden administration needed, the voting bloc that they desperately needed to emerge from a field of 15 candidates during the nomination process, was kind of the Bernie Sanders liberal progressive left. And whoever got them on board was going to emerge from the pack. Biden got them, and then he needed them to beat Donald Trump. It was, as we know, it was a very slim margin election, and he needed them. And when the progressive bloc voted for Biden, he gave them the immigration portfolio, the policy advisors. They have an ideology. It's like a religion. And their ideology is that borders are cruel, inhumane, immoral, and are a violation of global civil rights, that there should be no borders. And they believe this. And definitely no deportation and no detention, all of those normal kind of country things that countries do were done away with systematically on the very first day. And then in all the subsequent years, they've systematically dismantled it. I believe that in addition to serving their ideology of just having that crazy ideology gratified, because no Democrat in history has ever held those positions, not Barack Obama, not Bill Clinton, not Joe Biden even, has ever really supported anything except trying to control that mass migration kind of thing. I believe that the reason that they did it is, A, they needed them to stay on board, the liberal progressives, but the liberal progressives that populated the political appointee class in DHS, at the State Department, come from non-governmental organizations that are in the business of resettling and helping to move migrants in. They get massive contracts in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. They get grants in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. They are doing this for profit. I believe that in addition to gratifying their ideology, they're getting filthy rich off of this in a way that they have never experienced before, for endowments, for CEO salaries, for board member salaries, and just to have a lot of money is a kind of a good thing. That's the long and the short of it. It's, remember, Eisenhower once warned America, beware of the military-industrial complex gaining control of U.S. foreign policy. Those are the guys that make bombs, bullets, planes, tanks, that sort of thing. And if they were ever to get in control of foreign policy, we would be at war nonstop for them to get rich. Well, in this case, the migrant advocacy industrial complex got control of U.S. immigration policy, and that's what happened. They went to war. We've been in nonstop war so that they can become bloated with profit, and they are.
Todd, the first thing, as we know, I grew up in a time when you still didn't lock your doors, you didn't even not lock your cars. Gated communities basically didn't really exist because you didn't even need a gate. There's a wall around the Vatican. There's a wall around the White House. There's a wall around Pelosi's house. There's a wall around most every place. They're nuts. They know better. Now, the other thing is, unfortunately, you have fentanyl coming across. You have coyotes. You have people bringing prostitution, child prostitution. Besides drugs, you have gangs and you have terrorists. Now, let's talk about the terrorists. Tell people about the terrorist watch list and how many people have been caught on the terrorist watch list coming across the border, right? Some more than once. And they don't really care. Isn't this treasonous?
Well, I wrote a book called America's Covert Border War. It's up on the wall behind me.
We're going to get to that one, too. Yeah.
And it is all about the jihadist infiltration threat and the counterterrorism programs that we have had in place down there that have kept the country safe so far. Lots of terrorist plots and terrorists caught and thwarted down there over the years. You never read about them, but you can see it in the book. And when you have a mass migration crisis of this proportion, naturally, you can't handle, those programs can't handle these kind of numbers, so they collapsed. Those programs are now collapsed under the weight of this. And as a result, we're seeing 340 immigrants who are on the FBI's terrorism watch list that we know of got caught at the border. But the most, the bigger danger is that we've had 2 million gotaways that have made their way and never got caught. And it's also a historic number, by far a historic number. So yes, we caught 340, but how many got through among the 2 million gotaways? And more recently, I've written for the American Mind, which is a magazine for the Claremont Institute. Just a couple days ago, published a piece of mine that points out that the U.S. government has accidentally released at least 8 people on the terror watch list into the U.S. by simply being too busy, too overwhelmed. These counterterrorism programs collapsed. At least 8 cases that I know of and have compiled and put together, the most recent, an Afghan who was released a year ago accidentally, even though he flagged on the watch list. And then they missed him a second time 10 months later in San Antonio. And finally, they rounded him up after he was in the country free to do as he pleased for almost a year. That kind of thing is, I think, a grave national security danger. I believe that there are probably other accidental releases right now that we haven't caught that are running around the country, and fingers crossed, man. That's all I got to say on that.
Well, speaking of the fingers crossed thing, let's take it a step higher. Now we have, as you have attested, Arizona and California, because we're looking at Texas, but Arizona and California, tell people what's going on there. And then to really put this into letting people know what's really going on, let them know about the other ways that illegal aliens are being ushered into the country that have nothing to do with the southern border, which should really be a wake-up call to all of us.
Sure. Well, so far we've just been talking about illegal crossings between ports of entry on the land border. Those numbers are in the millions, probably, 8 million, maybe more that we know of. And then another 2 million that got away. So 10 million crossed in that way in 3 years, 36 months. Right now, the largest numbers are crossing through Arizona and an area called Lukeville. Just pouring in by the thousands a week from all over the world, mostly from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia, Chinese pouring in. We've had 50,000 Chinese. Most of them are coming in through California, making their way through Mexico and then getting into over the border illegally there. So you have people coming in. 45% of everybody who reaches our southern border in this particular mass migration crisis are from 150 other countries besides Mexico and Central America. This is not your grandparents' mass migration crisis. This is something very different. It's global in scope. Everybody has heard that the border is open, and everybody has seen with their own eyes through selfies and on their cell phones, all their friends and neighbors get let right into the country. So that's why the whole globe is on the march through here. The other part of your question, I believe, is remind me again.
About what was other ways. We're coming in by airplane now.
Okay. So the Biden administration recognized about a year or two ago that they had a bit of a polling problem for elections that, driven by news, sometimes news footage of mass numbers of people congregated down there on the border being processed in slower than they're entering. So there's big pools of people. It looks terrible. The polls go down when that happens. So the administration came up with a solution to the media coverage, which is to create programs to bring people from foreign countries in through ways that are not visible, that are invisible, in two primary ways, starting in January of 2023. One is a program to let them fly in directly from foreign airports into U.S. airports using a cell phone app called CBP One. They can apply, they get a scheduled appointment from wherever they're applying from, and then they have to buy their own airplane tickets, and then they fly right into whatever airport they want, and U.S. Customs is there to greet them and stamp them in just as quickly as if they were stamping them in crossing illegally between the border. And they get 2-year work permits and, you know, public assistance and everything else, but you can't see them. We've probably had more than 400,000 fly in on this air travel authorization program, the majority of them initially landing in Florida, as we've been reporting, but also coming into at least 40 other airports. The government will not tell us which other airports. We had to figure out what we know on our own. Then the second way that they're being brought in is at the land ports. Same thing, cell phone app. You get scheduled to cross, to be escorted in through a land bridge, through a land port. More than 400, probably closer to 500,000 more, close to 1 million people being brought in these other ways. And guess what? Those 800, 900,000 don't get counted in the illegal crossings that we all pay attention to in the media. So it looks like it's kind of going down, but they've just simply moved the peanut under the shell over here is all that happened. The same numbers are still coming into the country, are still reaching our American cities that are staggering under the fiscal burden of their numbers, just the same as had they crossed illegally. Chicago doesn't care how they got in. They just care that they have to pay for them now. And so it doesn't matter whether you call them legal or illegal or whatever, they're still the same and they're being brought in that way.
This is insane. Todd, I have two more questions for you. The first one is the obvious one. This could only be taking place as if the disingenuous mainstream media gave them cover. Why is the media continuing to cover for this? Because they have to know we're going to get hit if this keeps up. They have to know that all these people are coming in. What is in it for the media? I know the answer, but I'll let you give your answer. What is in it for the media that they haven't just ripped this, you know, raised the curtain and said, this administration is, you know, turning our country over to, you know, that you can't do this.
I can give you an informed, theory. I was a reporter myself for 23 years. So I worked in mainstream newsrooms all over the place, big newspapers, networks and everything. And this is what I did. My master's degree is in journalism. My undergrad I'm a journalist trained. And everywhere that I ever worked, all of us, reporters and editors alike, were liberals, politically liberals. Everybody knew it. We talked about it. There might have been a few conservatives speckled in there. And I believe that that's the root of the coverage lapse in this border crisis, that they understand that coverage of this would help Donald Trump campaign against Joe Biden. And it would, actually. And I think that they're in the tank. Most all of them are in the tank for Joe Biden. They understand that Trump, won the first presidency on this issue, immigration, illegal immigration. And they don't want to see him win a second one. So they stay away from the border. They don't talk about it. They'll parachute in occasionally and say, well, finally, after 3 years, I think they're saying that something unusual is happening. But for the first 2-3 years, when I was reporting for my book, I think they still were not declaring that there was anything unusual happening down there. That the fact the opposite. They were saying things in the Washington Post and the New York Times that this is just kind of the normal cycle and whatever. But the numbers are the numbers. The statistics are the statistics, and they tell the story. We've never seen anything like this. And I've said this before, if you're an immigration reporter for a mainstream media outlet in the United States, this is the biggest story of your entire career. There will never be another story this big. If you're a war correspondent and World War II comes along, it's the equivalent of you just sitting it out and saying, it's just some kind of a scuffle over there. You've just missed the biggest and most incredible story of your entire life. You'll never see another story this big on your beat. And that's what happened. They sat it out.
Well, and they'll pay, because eventually this is going to come to light. And that's my final question. Todd, you know, a lot of guests get people, they listen, and because this show is about letting people know what's going on in America, the truth. So people are up on the bridge. So now let's see if you can get them down from the bridge safely. Is there a solution? And if so, what is it? How do we get this under control? What will it take? What can we, the people, do? And is that in your book, or is that something that you just talk about?
No, I have a full chapter dedicated to solutions. It's one thing to complain about the problem and lay it out, but you have to offer solutions. And one of the central theses in my book is what drives immigrants to make the journey and what motivates them to stay home instead. And it's a very simple calculus. People would be surprised how simple it is that I even had to put it in a book. It's that simple. And it's this, that it usually costs $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 to smuggle yourself here. It's a long journey, and it costs a lot of money. And for a lot of these people, that amount of money is an absolute once in a lifetime fortune. And you are not going to gamble it casually. What you want to know is what the odds are that you're going to get to stay in the country, that you're going to be able to cross and stay after you paid that money. If the odds are really high that you're going to stay in the country after you pay that money, you're going to pay the money. You're going to do it. It's normal. You know, that's like they're smart. If it seems like you're going to pay your money and then end up stuck in Mexico, you're staying home. You're not going to borrow that money. You're not spending that money. It's that simple. So what happened is, when Trump was in office, his policies lowered the odds of being able to enter and stay to something like 10%. That's terrible. I wouldn't go to Vegas on odds like that. I like blackjack because there's a 51% chance, I mean a 49% chance that I might win. And so I like blackjack because it's got a high odds. 10% is terrible. Remain in Mexico, a third safe country. His asylum policies, all of those policies lowered the odds that you're going to get paid off, that you're going to pay off. Biden came in and on the first day increased the odds to 60%, then 80%, then 95%. It's almost 100% guaranteed that if you drop 10 grand right now or 20 grand on smuggling, you're going to get in and you're going to be able to pay that debt with interest. It's that simple. So you have to put in policies that lower the odds that you're going to get to stay in. That's going to be remain in Mexico again, pushbacks, immediate pushbacks, long-term detention that end with deportation. Asylum in other countries, the denial of asylum if you've passed through three or four other countries that are safe. You don't even get to apply for asylum here. You go home right away. Aggressive deportation by air all the way to home countries. Arm-twisting Mexico like Trump did to cooperate in all of these policies. On inauguration day for Biden, They let Mexico off the hook for all of the policies that we had forced them to swallow. So they were like, let them all through. Of course. Same with the Central American countries, recalcitrant countries abroad that won't take them back. Trump said, fine, you won't take them back. Sanctions on you. We're visas sanctions on you. And they were, lo and behold, they start all taking them back. It's not that hard. You could turn this thing around in about an hour.
And that means Donald Trump must be the next president. Otherwise, this will continue and we won't, you believe me, people, you're not going to want to live in this country because people are coming across from China, terrorists are coming across, and we're going to get hit. It's just a matter of time unless we get this election done. Todd, I really appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. Before you go, please tell everybody where they can get your two outstanding books and anything else you'd like to promote and how they can contact you.
Thank you. Well, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. I'm just back. Two of the last 3 weeks I've been down in Mexico. I picked something up.
Yeah.
So the books are available anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think Overrun is still out in bookstores. And you can follow me at on X, Bensman Todd X. My website is toddbensman.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter there. And I have, Getter and Truth Social as well, accounts on those, so you can follow me there too.
And they'll all be listed on this podcast page. Todd, thanks for coming on. You're always welcome to come back and keep up the good fight because we need people like you that are willing to speak truth to power and actually go to the locations to really know and tell people, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and I am telling you the truth. Thanks for coming on. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
There you have it, everybody. Mr. Todd Bensman. I want to thank Todd Bensman for alerting us what's going on, not only at the southern border, but other national security concerns as it applies to illegal immigration. It's a major problem, people, and we have to get this under control. The Biden administration isn't about to do it because it would kill their election plans, because this is a big, major issue for Donald Trump on the winning side. So we're going to have to take care of this ourselves, people. We need to educate people and alert them and tell them what is going on so we understand that a vote for Biden is going to be a vote for illegal immigration. It's going to be a vote for major national security concerns, and we could wake up one day in America and not recognize our nation. Can't have that. Not on our watch. No way, no shape, no how. This podcast is available at radioinfluence.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hope you subscribe, leave a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. There's also a video version, which you can get at either Rumble or YouTube. The same thing, we would hope that you would subscribe to it, have your notification button on, so every Tuesday when the show drops, you will get each episode. There is also an audio archive. I've had more than 150 high-profile guests in 3 years that have been on the show. You go to Radio Influence. You can find the audio archive. It's also on the podcast page, even on the video page. You can click there and click the audio archive. Here's just some of the guests we've had. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Brigitte Gabriel, Professor Nicholas Giordano, Star Parker, Ian Pryor, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Monica Crowley, Brandon Tatum, Mel Kay, Tom Holman, Carrie Lake, Ben Carson, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Carol Swain, Kevin Sorbo, Naomi Wolf. That's just the start. So hope you'll check that out because they all had something great to say about saving America for we the people. Well, that's it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed this and hope you'll share and let people know because we have a country to save. So until the next time, this is your host, Gary Binford, saying God bless you, God bless your families, and God, please bless America.